This week's episode has no paid subscribers, so you know what to do. Get three other people to subscribe to the show and listen. I need the numbers. And if you're not tired of hearing my voice, check out Justin is Married, Booker is Single. Subscribe to it, even if you don't want to listen. I need those numbers.
Listen to me, listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun and get crazy, have some fun.
Welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 136. Currently, I am in studio sans Paco. Here's the explanation. He might be listening via his smartphone or not. He wanted to do an extra episode this week. So I said, okay, well, I could do today. He said, I could do it 12:30. I said, 12:30 plus is what he said. So I said, okay, 12:30 it is. I got to pick up my kid at school at 2. Now, everybody listening knows how easy it is for he and I to crank out a show in an hour and a half right on the button. So so I do my setup, I do my prep, I get the music playing, and no Paco. So in his defense, he sent me an email saying, hey, I'll be coming back from a doctor's appointment in Pasadena. For anybody who is aware, that's about a 20-minute drive without traffic into where we are in Burbank. And so I sent him a text at 12:32 saying, hey, are you still coming? Let me find my phone. Oh, I have it right here, my new little Hutch situation here, because I think it's very funny. He said to me, which Natalie might be jumping in. She's the alternate. She's right now making lunch. She's home for lunch. Oh, fuck. Things got ugly this morning. Trying to leave Pasadena right now. Home at 25. So I waited about 10 minutes. I said, well, I'll start, and then he'll jump in. And then Natalie was inside having lunch, so I sent her a text message because that's how you communicate with your spouse nowadays. And she might come in here and jump in. So in the meantime, if you want to be the person that I would like to talk to while doing the show, feel free to call in. 877-222-8323 for anybody who is just listening live or via the podcast. Now you can call that number and leave a voicemail, BT Dubs, in case you're interested in doing that. We can also talk via the chat. That's what I have going on. But I have some fun articles in here. There's an email that I wanted to read, but it's about how awesome Paco is, so I wanted to wait till he's here. So I will definitely pull this in. But here's a fun little story. The most popular lingerie in all 50 states, including Tennessee, where it's sweatpants. Here's a good way to figure out how sexy a state is. What kind of lingerie do the women there like the most? A women's underwear company called True and Company, I guess. What the hell is that about? Analyze their data to find their biggest seller in all 50 states. There are a lot of bras, underwear, and even more complex stuff like bodysuits and camisoles, or camisoles, as I believe they're correctly pronounced. It's hard to say what has the sexiest picks, since everyone's taste is so different, but we'll give shout-outs to the states with the most exotic choices. Vermont went with red lace boudoir bodysuits. That sounds hot. In Michigan, it's black lace camisoles. Camisoles? And Texas went with multicolor satin boudoir bodysuits. So everybody likes bodysuits. And then there's the other end of the spectrum where it really is obvious who made the least sexy picks. In Colorado and Washington, the most popular type of lingerie is flannel pajamas. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people like to bag on sweatpants and flannel pajamas as not being they want to hear from Natalie. Sorry, I was reading the chat. Flannel pajamas not being sexy is my point. And let me just be a guy out there saying, hey, everybody, I'm getting text messages from Doreen Luna. She's saying we're just driving through Glendale. Now, if you're listening to this, you might be going, what kind of asshole would start the show by himself and, you know, read articles and everything without somebody to talk to? I just think it's funny. I think it's funny for the theater of the mind because, A, Paco wanted to do this. And then B, like the idea of him having some kind of 80s film-esque car run through. If you're listening to this on your phone, Paco, don't speed. You know, everybody, I could just assume, pretend you're here. I wish I had some sound bites of you and then I could just hit buttons and make that work. But anyway, to get back to my point, I think sweatpants get a bad rap. I think as long, here's the thing. If you have a newborn or an infant, chances are your sweatpants are going to be filled. Well, hello. Hello, my lovely lady. Come on in. Have a seat. We started a show. We have some people listening live. You're going to have to pull that close to your mouth, and then you could do this, but you could still enjoy your Top Ramen. I don't think anybody's going to care, but let me turn your mic up.
Fun. There's actually people?
Yeah, there's... How dare you? How dare you? Don't
shut up. You know what I mean.
Everybody.
Oh my God.
Everybody's...
Okay, you're going to hear slurping.
Don't slurp right into the... No, don't do that. Nobody wants to hear that.
They don't know if I'm slurping my soup or something else.
Oh, man. We're talking about lingerie, dear. The 50 states all weighed in. There's a company that did a survey, the most popular lingerie sold, and the most sexy ones were in Vermont, which was a red lace boudoir. Am I saying that right? Bodysuit? You think that's right? You're a ballet dancer. You know French.
Sure.
All right, thanks. In Michigan, it's black lace camisoles. Is it camisole or camisole?
Camisole.
No.
Is the correct spelling.
The spelling. I'm talking about how to say it.
I think it's tomato, tomato, really.
Oh, really? Well, no, one of them is wrong. Tomato is not right. Tomato is how you say it.
Well, it depends on where you're from.
I like that we're happily married.
Just like people say process or process.
Who says process?
Vitamin or vitamin?
Those are British people. Those are not Americans. These are 50 states, honey.
Southern, northern, eastern. We all have different ways of saying stuff.
But some of them are right and some of them are wrong. By the way, I'm already...
Only the California way is right.
Oh, that's true. I agree with you there. Texas went multicolored boudoir bodysuits. Is what they went, but they're getting some flack in Colorado and Washington because their most
Texas.
Their most popular type is flannel pajamas. I happen to think that's kind of sexy.
Oh,
I like a sweatpant.
You got to move there.
Why?
Because that's your cup of tea.
My cup of tea? You're not coming with me? Why can't you just put on flannel pajamas here at the house in California?
Well, that's true.
Yeah. You're a lot of fun to have here.
Thanks.
It's interesting. You know what? You know what's interesting?
Oh my God.
Oh, my dirty, dirty wife. Dirty, dirty wife.
I'm sipping my noodles.
Oh, let's see. Somebody says, used to live in International Falls, Minnesota, and worked with Canadians. They say process, and not process. Oh, I get it. Damn Canadians. Process.
Wait, how did we go to lingerie in that?
Somebody's weighing in on your process. It's in the chat.
See
we have live listeners
crazy.
That you were mocking. No, that's she's saying in Minnesota, or he's saying, sorry, Derek. He's saying that in Minnesota, that's different. I'm talking, these are 50 states, so there has to be a correct way. Nobody says vitamins unless they're from another country.
Okay. Camisole, then.
Camisole is what I should go with?
Probably what they normally say.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks.
That went off a rail.
No, it didn't. but what I was going to say, or what I was talking about earlier, is the theater of the mind that you're providing to let the listeners know, as if the men that listen to the show aren't jealous enough of me, that I have a lovely wife such as yourself. Get ready for
so
some
sweet.
Butt kissing. I'm
Aww.
Trying to score a BJ while doing the show, guys. That she also goes along with the theater of the mind. You ever heard of the term blumpkin, dear? You know what that is?
No.
You have no idea what a blumpkin is.
Sounds like a fat pumpkin.
Okay.
Or what they call a fat girl.
No.
I don't know.
It's a blowjob while you're on the toilet.
Oh, that is nasty.
Yeah. Now, why do you think someone would want that? I mean, to me, I
have no idea.
I feel like there would be so many other... I feel like a lot
while
of...
While I'm taking a shit, come...
But I don't think that's the important part. I think it's... Here's what I think it is. I think a lot of these creepy things that happen sexually that seem kind of male-oriented or male... I don't think anybody listening to this show wants a blowjob on a toilet. I think that they just want a blowjob.
No, some people are crazy though. They like to be peed on, pooped on.
Not people that
There's
have children,
stuff.
Though. You think?
You never. There are crazy people out there, dear.
Where are you hanging out? That you know people who like crazy sexual things. I'm the only person you hang out with.
Here's the
Where
thing.
Are you going that you
know,
hear words like vitamins?
But people are crazy. Maybe it's from the bank, but I don't know.
People at the bank are getting blowjobs in the toilet?
Or saying vitamins. They could be.
For all you know?
Security's not that great. I don't know.
Well, you can't have a camera in the bathroom. That's creepy.
That's just nasty.
Right.
Maybe it's that whole thing like people get off with their finger going in their ass.
Where do you find
So then... instead of the finger going in the ass, the shit coming out while being sucked on is enjoying.
While being sucked on?
That's what I'm saying. It's nasty to us, but somebody might think, you know, I'm going to go home and try something new.
You think people listening to this show are going to go home and stick a digit in an ass?
No.
Ugh.
No.
You wouldn't like it if I just got maybe one knuckle?
Nope. Deep? You would be two knuckles deep in your face.
You'd give me the Groot? You'd go through the nose and just...
I don't know how that could be pleasing.
I don't think so either. Like, here's what I think. You and I met in high school, right? So... Mm-hmm. Do you think that we're so much boring than everyone else out there? Because for me, I cannot speak for you. Please be honest with my audience. But for me, everything sexual is awesome. You know what I mean? And by that, I mean, I don't need to go above and beyond what Jesus intended.
Yeah, no.
I don't need to make it more hellish, or not more hellish, just hellish in any way. I think I could be perfectly happy with a little, you know, you change a position.
Yeah.
Every now and then. Yeah. But even if you came to me and said, listen, I can only handle missionary for the rest of my days.
Yeah.
I would not feel like I was missing out on anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I feel the same way.
But I did a show once with a lady who is a comedian, obviously. And she was talking. She was making a joke about how I talk about how men get cramps in lovemaking. And I found out that it's different for women and all this stuff. And she goes, the reason I like it is because when it happens to a woman, it's different because it takes you out of it or whatever. I go, well, what are you doing that you get cramps? Like when you're having sex, she goes, well, you know, when you move the legs around, do you remember this story from Vanessa Graddick?
Oh, okay.
Very funny comedian. She was talking about how you move the legs around. And I'm like, I don't do anything with the legs. She's like, what are you talking? Why? How do you have sex without moving the legs? I go, you just have sex.
Yeah.
I don't need to.
Or some people aren't as flexible.
Well, that's what she's saying. She's saying your wife is a dancer, so I would assume that she expects me to work your legs like I'm like a TV antenna, you know, those old rabbit ears. And again, I hope that it's not boring to you.
No.
But it's like I don't see the desire to need to ramp it up a notch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I don't know why I invited you in here for your lunch break and then it got all sexual. I blame lingerie studies. But while you're in the room. There's another story here that I really liked. Let me see if I can find it about the most common. All right, here we go. The average woman has 5 major regrets in life. Here are the top 10 most common.
And I hate like regrets.
You do? Do you have any regrets?
No.
Well, maybe, but that sounds like a lie.
Read your questions.
Do you regret marrying me?
No, not at all. Mm-mm.
Are you lying right now?
No, I'm not lying right now. Read your questions. I got shit to do. Come on.
What do you have to do?
I gotta go to work.
Oh, all right. Sorry. Well, you can leave now.
No.
This
is fun.
Doreen is texting me. They must be listening live. They're on the Buena Vista. She goes, he's going to kill us driving like a maniac. I told you, slow down, Paco. I know that they're listening live because I also got a text from Doreen says, she goes, Jesus, Natalie with the nasty talk. See, it's like Doreen is here. Tell Paco to stay home. Let's just do an all-lady show. Let's do a little worship three-way. We know we're supposed to live life with no regrets, and in case you forgot, someone will post an inspirational quote about it on Facebook. But come on, having no regrets is impossible. A new survey found the average woman has 5 major regrets in her life. Here are the 10 most common things women regret. What do you – give me a guess. Don't look at the screen, but what do you – like, what? Just pick one. Let's turn it into a guessing game a little bit.
Gosh, maybe somebody picking a job over, like, following their dream instead of following their paycheck.
Ooh, let's see. I don't see that on here. That's a good one. But you followed a paycheck.
Or not in my case, but, like, if somebody did think that they didn't marry the right person because then maybe they ended up getting divorced or something like that.
I don't know. It says, number 10, not having children, so you don't have to live with that regret. Mm. Sometimes we regret having them.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I do.
I don't.
No, I don't think. Here's the thing. I think.
One or two is one thing, but maybe those people are talking had like 6.
No, any children. No, any children. Okay. I'm saying they regret not having children. These are women.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm saying that sometimes we regret having children.
It could be vice versa.
I'm not saying that we sit there and go, gosh, if you guys weren't here. I'm saying that, like, the other day you had it where you came and you gave me like a this is going to sound horrible, especially given the context of our, giving me what I call a lap hug. You know what I mean? Where you kind of straddle me and give me a hug while I'm watching TV on the couch or something like that. And then the dog was going, yeah. And the kids are, mama.
And then, it's seven, mama.
Yeah, he's out of nowhere, Jacob says, it's seven. He's on this new time kick where he's got a Ninja Turtle watch. And anyway, so we're sitting there and you said, remember when we used to do this just all the time? And
just us.
And
oh, yeah. My gosh, you remember 24 Hour?
No, what do you mean 24?
The show, 24. Oh my gosh.
That's, you're such an old 24, woman.
24, whatever. Anyway, that show, Kiefer
you
Sutherland,
remember
right?
24 yeah. Hour? We used to watch it. Well, we listened to it
we
on
did
the
a
radio.
Marathon, like 9 in
oh,
the
yeah.
morning until like 10
we
at night.
We would binge watch
awesome.
So much stuff.
Yeah.
With that, we'd stream. Remember what we'd do is we'd go, this is like that Chris Farley bit. Remember? We would get the DVDs on Netflix and then watch an entire show.
Oh, uh-huh.
Like as it was like the final season, what would happen? And then I'd see like an episode and go, oh, we should watch this.
What was the other one with Jennifer Garner?
Alias. We
yeah,
also
yeah.
did that.
Ooh, that's good.
Nobody cares about this.
Okay.
Oh, I think the dog's outside.
All right, put your pants on.
Hi, Adam. Now you can hear the dog. Too.
All right, Paco's back. Okay. You could be
well,
dismissed.
What else were you going to
do? Oh, I'm sorry. So the most common ones were not having children, not traveling before starting a family, which I...
Well,
you got to go all over Europe as a dancer on
well,
a cruise ship.
Well, but half the time before you have a family, you're broke. So it's not until after your kids are gone that you have money to go actually do things that you really want to do.
That's true.
So...
That's true. Not being a better daughter. Do you regret not being a better daughter? Okay, moving on. Not being a good enough friend. Not being spontaneous enough.
Yeah.
Having sex with someone you shouldn't have? I think you do that on a regular basis, right?
Regret that?
No, you do that anyway. Oh. You have sex with someone you shouldn't have on a regular basis. See,
no.
The joke is me, dear. You.
He's saying it's inappropriate for you to be having sex with
him. Oh.
Right.
It's not as easy as it looks.
Yeah, no. No. Okay, next question.
All right. We'll get you out of here. Not buying a house earlier. We did it pretty early. Choosing the wrong career path. Not losing weight on a diet, and the number one, not trying hard enough in school. Do you regret that?
No.
All right.
Because had I tried harder in school, I wouldn't be where I am now. So,
all right. Fair enough.
Everything happens for a reason, people.
All right. Thank you, dear. Very
Bye.
Well done. Excellent job, Mrs. Worsham, for filling in for Paco. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your lunch. I wish that was longer, this cheer thing. You're going to not sit in your usual seat?
No.
I have your Diet Coke for you,
yeah,
sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know you're frantic. Your wife was texting me saying you were driving like a maniac.
Yeah, Cannonball Run.
Were you listening the whole time on your phone?
No, it kept going out, kept dropping out.
Oh.
Every 30 seconds it dropped out until your wife started talking about sucking dicks.
Yeah,
I got a kid in the back seat who's hearing you talk about about Blumpkins. And you know, by the and I and I'm signaling to Luna, just shut it off. And she's like, I can't, it won't shut off now. It literally had not been on for more than 15 seconds at a time until it got so horrible. And by the time your wife is shoving her finger up my ass,
yes,
I'm just about to throw the phone out
Yahtzee.
The window. I was like, just turn the phone off. So that was when we left you.
All of it worth it.
Yeah.
Worth it for all that vamping.
I'm glad.
Worth it for that wonderful, wonderful, beautiful payoff.
Yes.
Oh, poor Chad.
Yes.
Sitting in the car going,
scarred.
He's not scarred.
No,
now he
see,
knows
no,
what
no,
he's going to do for prom.
No, seriously. There's nothing wrong with him knowing about Blumpkins and anal play and all those other things. It's just you don't want to learn about it or to enjoy any kind of conversation with your parents next to you. I know you do. You and your family got off on that kind of thing. I understand.
Well, we didn't get off. We're not creepy.
Well.
We just.
Excuse me.
We enjoyed
the
it.
The jury is still out on how creepy you are.
All right. Let's do this so we could get to it because I know you're going to be very excited. Let's do some listener mail.
You've got mail.
What's this? A letter for me.
Keep those cards and letters coming.
So you're going to love this, Paco.
First of all, I love that.
Right? I decided to ditch the music, and this is something from that was on this old morning show library, and I liked it.
Oh, it was in there? Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
It was already in there. That's fun, right? So this comes from a longtime listener for years. I believe, unless I'm getting my Kimberlys mixed up, which happens a lot with this guy, I think Kim was listening even before she had kids. I could be wrong.
Wow.
I want to say that she was a
listener. The show didn't get her pregnant, did it?
She was trying to get pregnant. But weirdly enough, she said that the negative vibe of the show made her feel oddly more comfortable. Either that, even if this isn't the right Kim, it's still a
yeah,
funny story.
It is.
Because she said the negative vibe of the show made her feel more comfortable about whenever it wasn't working, that she wasn't really missing out on something. And she would listen to the show while in a bubble bath drinking wine going, I have a limited time for this right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, she says, hey, guys, I'm in the middle of listening to the latest episode, and I've been meaning to send a message for a while. Now, this is you're creating a monster here, Kim. Let me just say this because I've read it. it says, I'm finally sitting down to do it, i.e. both kids are napping. I've been listening for years and love the podcast. I'm especially enjoying Paco's cinema knowledge.
Ooh.
I went to film, yeah. I went to film school in Prague and have a love for the same movies he does. So it's nice to hear him speak about these movies in the way
Kimberly.
That brings me back to my film school days. I don't have a lot of time or friends that would find it interesting, quite frankly, to discuss the nuances of lighting, cinematography, script, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoy Paco's take. I wish he was a man because then I could give some kind of voice like this.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish I had more time to go see the movies he discusses with us. Before kids, I would go see all the Oscar-nominated films before the Oscars and then throw a big Oscars party where we all voted on who should win, etc. Now, I'm sorry, Kim, that I'm giving you this this pompous attitude, but clearly you guys are in agreement on this. Now it's just me sitting on a sofa trying to stay awake through Best Picture. So thanks, Paco. I really appreciate it.
You're most welcome, Kimberly.
My response to Kimberly was, if I didn't know better, I would say this was a fake profile Paco created. Thanks for listening and writing in. So, so listen, I love him. And this actually coincides with a text conversation you and I had over the weekend.
Yes.
Where I think I unintentionally offended you.
No.
Because I watched Whiplash.
Yes, as well you should.
And this one I watched with Natalie.
Good.
And it was awesome.
Another screener, or you were streaming it?
No, we pirated it. No, okay. I'm kidding. No, I zapped it on the,
okay,
the
good,
DirecTV.
Good. That's what I thought you did.
So we watched this, and we loved it. Both of us loved it. We're mm-hmm. like, oh, my gosh, this is such a great movie. Now, it's funny because I don't know if we've talked about it on the show. I talked about how I watched Birdman last week.
Yeah.
And both Natalie and I didn't hate it, but we were like, this is really freaking weird, uh-huh. right? So we watched Whiplash, and then it's over, and I'm doing laundry while it's happening. Natalie's starting to bathe the kids. And it was funny because we were going to watch it with the kids.
Yeah.
And they liked the drumming part or whatever.
Yes.
They weirdly enough decided to go outside and play right before, like, J.K. Simmons became incomparable, in my opinion.
Yes.
But it was funny because we're watching it with the kids. And so I go, oh, this is funny because it won. It didn't win Best Picture. But was it nominated, or am I wrong?
It was. It was nominated Best Picture. He was not nominated Best Director.
So continue the context of, in my opinion, Birdman unfairly winning Best Picture.
Okay.
In comparison to The Imitation Game, The Theory of Everything, and now Whiplash.
And Whiplash.
The only remaining Best Picture nominee that I believe I have not seen is Boyhood. Am I wrong?
Oh, well, I'm sure you're going to love it.
I know,
you
right?
should rush right out and see it, you motherfucker.
Don't condescendingly tell me that I will or will not like a movie. But
no, I mean, based on the erroneous attitude.
Erroneous?
Yes, that I'm giving. No, last week you completely.
How dare you?
No.
To this layperson, I see.
I'm the erroneous one in your mind.
We need counseling. We're having trouble communicating.
It's okay.
No, our relationship is on the rocks, and I'm worried about it.
Last week, you challenged my credentials on air, saying that I ought to be replaced by a 5 or 6 year old,
3 year old.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Jacob replacing me.
No,
it was Jack.
No,
even funnier.
Jacob is just as. Is pompous with his opinions of lighting and cinematography
and everything else. So what I'm saying is,
cynical and jaded.
By the rule of inverse properties, if I said that Boyhood was my most hated one,
right?
I should
love it that much
ergo,
more.
Ergo, yes, it should be that much better for you.
So I sent Paco a text message saying,
yes.
I said that Whiplash was 10,000 times better than Birdman, and it included a jazz drummer as well,
mm-hmm.
to which, where's my phone?
Listen, I got it right here. It's the only thing I do have is a phone. I don't have a computer. Don't have any show notes.
You need a computer?
No.
Well, why were you in such a rush?
What do you mean?
Well, why not take the time? You're already 40 minutes late. Why not grab your stuff?
Because I don't have show notes on there anyway. I'm ill-prepared.
What did you say? Hold on.
You got to read yours.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to play the part of you?
No, that would be fun. Part. Well, I have to fire it up now.
Be advised. Now I can't find it. Was it before? Oh, here we go. Yes, if you'll recall, I loved Whiplash.
He's reading my part now.
The kid is fantastic, and the incomparable J.K. Simmons is transcendent. It was nominated for Best Picture, but not Best Director. I would have been delighted if it had won for Best Picture. Mostly, I was rooting against Boyhead. I'm glad you saw / liked it. I'm not sure, but I believe that on the episode to pick a flick, you mocked me for discussing a film that no one would or could see. I'd have to check the tape, but for the record, yes, it is better than Birdman. And so I said, LOL, I wasn't arguing with you. If you recall, I'm the one who relays how many dogs you give movies to the listeners. And I think I was talking about the French one.
Was it
The Last Night or something?
2 days, one night.
2 days, one night. Yes. That was the one that you saw that I was like, no one's going to go see a foreign French film when they have children.
This is true. But
even Kim. I think even Kim had, without children.
She would draw the line
back
somewhere.
In those times of enjoying a sudsy bath would be like, I'm not going to go see that.
In the category of movies that I've seen with my mom, which is a subcategory of pick a flick, that has been filled with nothing but movies no one else is going to see.
Okay.
Including The Homesman. And there was the one that had Kevin Kline in it, took place in France. I saw the last showing in Burbank on the last night, and I was the only one in the theater. And I walked around the auditorium to keep myself awake. So it's very unlikely that someone's
that you're getting paid to do the show now.
I was going to bring that check in and give it back to you.
Because I feel like it's that at least it should be enough money to maybe come close to covering your movie expenditures.
Yeah, there you go.
I would love to see a year end. I would like to see a year end summary from the 2014 year on movie stubs.
I can do that for you.
You know what?
I think I can do that for you.
Based on this podcast, I would have to 1099 you, but you might be able to make it a tax deduction now, all of the movies you go see, just because
that would be
you
funny.
Are now a professional movie reviewer.
That's true.
Not well paid.
My movie costs would be well exceed the amount I get paid
exactly.
to do it.
And you take a loss, and then you get a little extra. That's all I'm saying.
Let me see here.
While you're looking that up,
yeah,
because I think that wraps up that everything with the Birdman, Whiplash.
I think so. I
theory
think so
of everything,
too.
Imitation Game debacle.
I mean, since you read that, I don't actually literally have to say it, but I will anyway. Which is that it wasn't so much that I loved Birdman as that I hated Boyhood.
Got it. All right.
And that if anyone watched that video, which we never even talked about, I don't think last time, that little video I posted of me reacting to the announcement of Best Director.
Go to facebook.com/dadpodcast. You're going to have to scroll down like a week or two, but you'll see Paco reacts to the Oscars like it's a Super Bowl is the title that I came in. It's very well shot. It's there's an awesome like kind of rack focus type effect that you're doing in your house. And
I was trying to hide as much of the debris behind me as possible.
And some of the listeners even commented that they like that. It's like, wait, who was it that I was rooting against?
Yeah, again? Clearly I'm so confused.
Grandpa's watching the Oscars.
Exactly.
while you're looking at that, there's another article that I found that I think is right up your alley. 4 ways you're cooking pasta wrong. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
This is great for Paco's Kitchen. Pasta is one of the easiest foods to make, except there's a good chance you're doing it wrong. Here are 4 myths about cooking pasta. Do you want to take a guess as to any of these? Would that be fun for you to play along?
4 things you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
I cook it in beer. No, I don't. I don't know.
I'll wrap this up, and then there's a great question in the chat. It says, myth 1, you should put oil in the water to keep the noodles from sticking together. It does work, but it also makes them so slippery the sauce runs off, and that's why actual chefs don't do it. I apologize for my mouth on that one. But I did this. So one of the things it says is that as long as you stir the pasta a few times during the first minute or two, it won't stick. I've done that.
Yeah.
And then it became like a pasta loaf of some kind after everything was said and done.
Huh.
But I don't know whether or not the sauce stuck to it better or not. But
do you mean pasta loaf after you pour the water off?
Yes.
Yeah. This is how I do it in Paco's Kitchen.
Okay.
She always wants me to – that would be Luna – who doesn't know how to open a banana, has given me tips on how to make pasta and putting the oil in. She's always very insistent that that happen. I avoid it unless she's standing there watching me.
Does she know the difference?
No.
Okay.
Because really, the time it's going to clump
she's
is
probably
when
listening right now.
The time it's going to clump is when after you drain it, but before you put the sauce on. So, for example, when I'm cooking, if I'm stirring a sauce that I'm making at the same time, I'll use that same spoon to stir the pasta. That gets a little bit of something in the water without actually adding oil to it.
Oh, you put a little salt. Well, you use the same spoon.
Yeah, I use the same spoon, too, so there's some cross-pollination there. But as soon as I've dumped it and put it back in the pot, I add a small amount of butter, regardless of what we're going to do with it later. And then that's generally how I keep it from clumping.
See, the problem with me is that I have cholesterol issues. So anytime we add butter to something, it might as well be taking a week off the end of my life. That's the hard part.
You weren't doing anything that week anyway.
That's probably true.
You're waiting for me to show up.
You should add a pinch of salt so it boils faster. Technically, that's true. But the main reason to add salt is to season the noodles. And you should actually add at least a tablespoon or even two. Well, I added a tablespoon to the last noodles I made. I couldn't really tell the difference.
I don't add the salt. Again, something that she has encouraged me to do. But since I'm watching my salt intake, much as you're watching your butter intake, I don't know that the amount you get from adding that. Adding salt to pasta really makes a big difference to the...
But it's what actual chefs do, Paco. Not just home chefs like us.
I understand.
You have to completely drain pasta when it's done. In reality, it doesn't do anything but dry it out. And if the sauce is really thick, a little extra water usually makes it better anyway. I thought that was interesting. Even though I broke that rule, I forgot about that rule. The first two really stuck with me. I did the tablespoon of salt.
Yeah.
And then I did the no oil, but it did not work out for me. But now I think I'll leave it in the water and wait till the lady just don't have it boiling.
Yeah. I sometimes turn it off before the timer goes
and just
limp the last
limp.
Yeah.
I like it. If you throw spaghetti against the wall and it sticks, it's done. Obviously, that's not a very accurate way to tell if it's cooked enough. Plus, you have to clean your wall. So just take a bite and decide if it's soft enough for you. There you go. Here we go. Fraser says salt doesn't actually boil faster. It makes it boil hotter, therefore cook faster. Makes it take longer to boil. Well, I think what they're saying is I see what you're saying is that, you're right. Because it's raising the boiling temperature of the water. So that doesn't make it get to boiling faster. It actually should take longer to get to boil. This has been Pasta Talk. Tune in next week when we go back to somewhat talking about parenting when my wife's not talking about blowing me on a toilet, everybody.
Oh, my God.
For anybody who's just tuning in, which I think is Butcher Drew, you missed a solid good chunk at the beginning of the show. Just enjoy that.
The archive.
When my wife jumps in and just totally filths up. Like, whatever I do here,
which
is
Paco. She didn't have her ass in this chair for 10 seconds before it turned into a pornography.
BJ on a toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, in all fairness to everyone,
she brings it out.
I thought you brought it up.
Listen, she's an attractive woman that I've had sex with. It's natural that as a man
we all get that.
Sex every 19 seconds that she's going to. Maybe she can't come on
the show.
Listen,
people.
Then it's just a sex talk
all
show.
All you have
but
to
sex
do
sells.
Is listen to him talk about how he bangs his wife. I have to see her and then hear him talk about it.
That's what
it's
I thought.
Much worse.
You were going to say about the whole Blumpkin incident. Is that your kid gets to see the people that are talking about it.
It's not, too.
It's not like Kevin and Bean out here in the morning, you know what I mean, where they could talk about it and nobody knows what they look like. You just have an idea in their head.
Yeah, it was hard enough for me to not.
We'll start doing it in the big picture window.
It was hard enough for me to not think about Natalie when I was getting a blowjob. Now I'm going to have to think about her when I'm taking a shit.
Good luck peeing if you're having those kind of thoughts. You might make sure you pee first. Tom in the chat room wants to know if you've seen The Kingsman.
Yes.
Oh, are we saving that for a pick?
No, I thought I talked about it on the show.
I fall asleep, much like you at a good movie. I fall asleep when you're doing a good review.
I'm fairly sure that I talked about it on the show.
All right.
But we saw it as a family. We saw it. Yes, Tom. What did you think?
He's not on the phone. Are you okay? Are you having
Well, call in, Tom.
Are you having a stroke?
Yes, I am. I think I have a pick a flick today. I can't remember. I'm going to have to look. Hey, week.
Yes, Tom. What did you think? Tom, Tom from Bakersfield, tell us what you think. What? No, he's. I literally said he's in the chat.
He's in the chat.
I checked to make sure nobody had called. But
well, I did see it, Tom.
Tom loved it. There you go.
There see, you go. Thank you, Tom.
If we waited for all that dead air, there's a reason why you have phones still.
Right.
Oh, it's Tom. All right, let's go back and do that bit now that he's giving us all the information. Tom from Canada, what do you think of Kingsman?
What did you think of it, Tom?
By the way, this show going international. We have a New Zealand listener, a guy from Sweden just kicked in like $200.
Oh, yeah,
as
that,
well.
You said that on the last
one. It's a guy in Italy who's been having nice Twitter conversations with me. And
Very cool.
Yeah, he was talking about, I said something about our friends on the East Coast, and he was like, well, what about your friends in Europe or whatever?
Yes, good
and
point.
I told him, I said, well, we had some bad weather. I go, I don't follow European weather. I'm sorry that my social media prowess is limited to the 50 states. And he says, no, well, weather's great here. But I go, great, we're moving there. Because he was like, it's 72 degrees or something. And he goes, no, this is what I love about anybody European. They're such good people that they're like, he goes, well, listen, we have our problems too. I'm like, don't worry. Are you fucking kidding me? Italy is beautiful, filled with nothing. But here's what I think Italy is. Italy is filled with nothing but hot chicks until they hit about 67. And then I feel like, much like an Asian woman can, they have like a shelf life. You know
I think
I mean?
It might be 55, but they're...
No, I think I could still rock an Italian chick in her 50s. I mean, what was that one chick, Sophia Loren or whatever?
Yes.
She was still smoking. Did she just die? Is that poor timing for me to bring that up?
I'm not sure. I don't...
I'd like to kill her with my penis if I could. And my wife really made this show take a turn.
Yeah, she did.
I'm going to blame her.
Well, Tom, I also enjoyed it a good deal.
Butcher Drew, I think in reference to the Blumpkin talk, he said, dear God, don't let there be a song for that.
Blumpkin talk. It's time for Bucko and the Bumpkin talk.
Bum, 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 bum. That's that. You have to do that. It has to be like a, I don't know. The only thing I have is your bottle. It has to be like a, whoa, 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 you know what I mean? Like the lips around a dick.
Yes.
Like a, whoa, 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 instead of, whoa, 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 whoa. That's what it has to be. I had another article here, and then we'll go into other stuff and things of that nature.
There's not enough things that rhyme with Blumpkin, Drew. I think you're safe.
This is in the area of, aren't you glad you're not married to this crazy bitch, is a woman faked her kidnapping because she was stressed over planning her boyfriend's birthday party. Planning a party can be really stressful. I'm not sure it's commit a major crime to avoid doing it stressful, but hey, we've all got different breaking points. 36-year-old Jennifer Alvarez of Casa Grande, Arizona, was in charge of planning her boyfriend's birthday party last Monday night, but it never happened because sometime on Monday afternoon, she disappeared. Her boyfriend came home, found blood on the floor, and reported her missing. Oh, my God. The cops started looking for her and found her at her friend's house the next day. She gave them two excuses for why she'd staged her own disappearance. Number one, some guys had come over, stolen her boyfriend's guns, and she thought he'd be mad. So she faked her kidnapping to distract him. To really sell it, she scraped her gums and let them bleed on the floor.
Oh, my God.
She was so stressed over planning his birthday party that she couldn't handle it and had a breakdown. Either way, the police say she'll be facing charges.
That's like a real-life Gone Girl.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Isn't that
cool? Oh, wow.
And here's the thing. I know we've had a lot of sex talk for this episode, especially for being with one without Rachel, but... I kind of find this intriguing. I'd like a crazy chick, you know what I mean, to come in and handle my business. You know what I mean? I bet you a chick who scrapes her gums to fake a disappearance, she would give a Blumpkin.
Yes, I think
you don't. You think so? I think she would go full blown Blumpkin. That's what I think would happen. All right, so that's all the little fun articles that I have. Here's a little quick stuff, and then we'll go into what happened with you.
Yeah,
but my fun time, I teased it on the last episode, is that I had a parent-teacher conference to follow a email I received from Jacob's teacher where she was none too pleased with his behavior. At one point, I can find her email. At one point, he told her that she was wrong. Like he leapt up and said, "No, you're wrong," which I love. I think that's outstanding, and it was just weird because, as Natalie pointed out when she sent the email, is that she goes, you know, before she had said that she wanted Jacob to do the changing of the light thing. So she wanted changing of the light. They have green, yellow, and red. So
right.
If you do something wrong, then you change green to yellow. And then you still have an opportunity to do something correct to bring it back to green, and then you get a stamp at the end of the day.
Right.
If you do something wrong again, you change it to red. There is no chance for redemption now. You are sent to an island similar to what Australia was to the British back in the 15th century or whatever, if I remember high school history correctly. But she says, I'm trying to find the reference to the – she goes, this is my other favorite part too. I just saw it in the email. He doesn't understand the difference between a teacher-student relationship and a peer relationship. She goes, I think he sees me as a friend, which I think is a very polite way of her either not realizing or saying he doesn't respect me at all, which I don't know where he gets that from. But he says he regards my directions as suggestions, which really made me more proud than it should have, to be honest with you. That she also used the words non-compliant, and Natalie even references at the parent-teacher conference. She was like, well, when you said non-compliant, I was like, well, that's his son. But she was talking about some Winnie the Pooh poem, and he says, no, you're wrong. That's not the right poem. And she didn't say that she was right. But she just said that she did not want him to yell out like that because it startles her. And she said, you should only yell out when someone is injured or hurt. And so I had a conversation with my father to kind of say, you know, how was I when I was a kid? And what would, you know, was there examples of this? Because I don't remember him having to deal with this stuff until I was like in sixth grade is when it really started. Mm-hmm. And so he goes, well, here's what I would do. He goes, you just go in there and you explain to her that these ideas of challenging authority are important values to you and that you raise him to do that.
Right.
And he goes, then there's nothing really she could do. Like, if it's an important value to her, then he goes, what she's expecting is for you to then jump to her aid and then correct this kid because she has a kid that isn't compliant and he doesn't just follow along and do whatever he's told, you know.
Right.
And so I go in there armed with this information and I tell the woman, I said, well, you know, you'd mentioned, I go, these ideas of noncompliance and everything like that. And she said, I go, well, we think that is important. I go, I want him to question and challenge his teachers. And I said, and that's what I told him. I said, if you think your teacher is wrong, I said, it is okay to say so. I said, but you do have to raise your hand. And this woman turned on me, not in a way that was bad, but in a good way. Like she goes, I couldn't agree with you more.
Blumpkin.
Yeah, right there. It was really awkward because the toilet seat was so small.
Right. But it was a potty training.
So, she said, I agree. She goes, you should challenge things. And she goes, it's taking risks. That's how you learn. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, I agree wholeheartedly. But it's also weird because she also talked about how she's doing, like, dealing with obedience training for her dog.
Right.
And you know what I mean? Just when I thought I was wrong. I was wrong about this woman because we were kind of having a conversation, even though it took me 20 minutes. It must be what it's like to be you. It took me 20 minutes to be able to finish to explain to her that it's important that he challenges and we will encourage him to do so. But we did tell him he needs to raise his hand.
Yeah.
It took me 20 minutes to get that out because we started talking about dog obedience and all these other things.
Yes.
And so she goes, but at the end of it, she says, this is where she lost me again. We're talking and she goes, well, yeah. She goes, I mean, I need to get some obedience training for my dog. And both Natalie and I were like, what? And she goes, I come home and it's like, you know, I need him to do what I told him to do, but he doesn't listen. And so it's like, I just don't have time because I'm so tired. I'm so tired by the end of the day that I can't get the dog training.
It's hard.
She goes, I know like summer vacation comes around and I have summer vacation. She says summer vacation, like nobody remembers that's 3 months of vacation.
Right.
Or 2.5 if you want to count meetings or coming back early to get ready. Whatever. It's still 6 weeks of solid time off.
Yeah.
And she goes, but even then I'm too tired. I don't want to do anything. I'm like, wait, so it just sounds like you're just always tired.
Yes.
It sounds like you need some ginseng or some shit like that to get you up and get you going.
Yeah.
Maybe hit up a Jamba Juice or a Robex juice or something like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Get some vitamins in you. But but, yeah, so that was my fun little interaction with the teacher. And what was interesting is that all is good. All is fine. The teacher didn't care. I thought we were going to get into, principal meetings and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But she absolutely supported everything I said. And agreed with all of it. And
she was drunk when she wrote that email. She had no idea who she was writing to.
Well, here's what it is. Is that it all
she thought she was writing about some kid named Justin.
Yes.
In all likelihood.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to look. She actually calls him Jacob in this long email. But yeah. Two emails, like 2 days later, she sends an email saying, I think Jacob would enjoy, or Justin would enjoy these Leapfrog DVDs. Like she goes, yeah. I spent $1,000 on these. But then here's the other thing. On the way to the parent teacher conference, this is what I love about this chick. Jacob says, we decided to go to Jack in the Box. We were going to get him some lunch, and mm-hmm. then we're going to go take him to the preschool. They're going to watch him while we go to the parent teacher conference. Cool. So we grab him a quick lunch, and I'm getting the food, and Natalie's sitting at the table with him, and he says, well, my teacher doesn't have any money, like, because some kid tore up a rug or a piece of the rug. And so she tells these 26, you know, 5 and 6-year-olds, yeah. She says, you know, instead of going on vacation this year or getting a massage, I bought this rug. So you guys can't destroy this stuff because it's like, this is my vacation, that I'm doing this for you, like this epic guilt trip.
Holy
or whatever.
Crap.
And I said, and Natalie, being Natalie, goes, she has money. And he goes, no, she doesn't. She tells us all the time. And I said, well, do you feel sorry for her? And because I was kind of, Jacob is very empathetic, you know?
Yeah.
I go, do you feel sorry for her? Like, does it make you sad because she doesn't have money to go on vacation? And Jacob goes, no. Like, so I was like, all right, moving on. But I just think, right. You know what I mean? Like, that's weird, right?
I think it's very inappropriate.
Crazy people. But I am going to back off a little bit because she did support everything I said about my kid challenging her authority.
Again, I think you're giving her too much credit in every direction. She has no idea what she's doing it from one moment to the
yeah,
next.
She's completely flighty, has no freaking clue. But I have secured him in the class that I hope. I don't know if it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
But I believe that I took the proper courses to get him into the first grade teacher. And that's where, to me, the real test will happen.
Right.
Is that this is my number one draft pick.
End of the summer when you guys walk up to that little window where they post the stuff where my children always cried. And you get there and you see the wrong him and the wrong and the cursing you're going to do. Bring me
with
you.
Well, luckily for everyone, I have an outlet like this, so I don't go buy guns.
Bring me with you.
Okay, you want to watch it happen?
I want to watch it happen.
He won't cry. He doesn't even know any of the teacher's names. He doesn't even know the teacher's name that I want him to be.
I understand. He'll just know Dad's cursing. Dad is angry now.
If you cursed in front of your children, it would be an odd event. For me, it's just talk.
Like, they hear it all the time. I was certainly cursing as I was driving here at 90 miles an hour.
Were you cursing at me or just cursing
two
at
wheels.
People around
no,
you?
No, at everything. And everyone.
Oh, that's funny. All right, what's going on in your world, Paco?
I got nothing.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, I remember I said, oh, we got to do it. He can't wait. I got stuff to talk. I don't know. I don't have my notes. I don't have anything. I never did anything. So just go back to what you're doing. No. But it's not so much, you started off talking so much about your family. It seems inappropriate to talk about our neighbor now, but we went out the other day.
Yes.
And so
I did not mention that because I thought this would be something that you wanted to talk about.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that was certainly really cool. George, who we've mentioned on many occasions.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Luna's birthday.
That, too. No, I was going to get to that. Working my way towards it.
You're working way in reverse chronological order.
Yes, but to the more important thing second. Doesn't matter.
More important thing second?
Yeah.
You're building up to a better story?
Whatever. we saw George.
For anybody who doesn't know, our neighbor George, he plays guitar for the Black Eyed Peas when they tour,
yes.
And then I didn't know this till we had a recent conversation, but he's involved in writing many of their songs,
yes.
And blah blah blah. And I don't think anything else we can technically go into.
No, I don't think so. But
so.
he has a new, for lack of a better word, a new band, but it's basically just one other guy.
Yeah,
and him. This other person has a established, semi-established career elsewhere in New Zealand and Australia. And he has a record deal out there, but he's trying to make a claim for the U.S., and he and George have thrown in together. And I know George has been working extraordinarily hard to learn the songs that this guy has, and they were just fantastic. I mean,
oh my gosh,
he was a motherfucking rock star.
I wish that I could record the audio because just the guitar sounds that he made. He had a pedal that are like a, it was like a rack
board, yeah,
with like 20 buttons on it. And for anybody who has never, I used to do tech, I'm beyond just, I know you all know me as an internet celebrity, but I had a life before this. And I was a technician on like many a concert at the theme park that I worked at. And they have a pedal, and each of the buttons can create a different sound or take it out. And so there's like a looping thing where he'll start playing like a ta 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 ta, and then he hits a button, and then that thing makes a ta 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 ta,
which then frees him up to play something else.
And then he adds another layer. You know, lots of people have seen this, I'm sure, around. But so George is also doing this with the guitar. But on top of that looping thing, he has different distortion effects and everything.
Absolutely.
The first song that they did was just a ton of noise. But it was still musical sounding noise.
It was,
but just dirty, distorted guitar. But they took you on a journey in five songs. Yeah. I know this sounds like we're like giving him a blumpkin, but I think it was incredible just to be there in the room and watch him. Just you kind of hear him. I think this is fair to say. Like, he talks about his experience on the Black Eyed Peas as not being the most creatively fulfilling. He doesn't hate it,
right?
But he does not feel challenged as an artist,
right?
And this is him, like, putting all that he's got.
He's
into
right
it.
There, and just the joy you could see on his face in playing, and the terror when he was trying to figure out which thing he's supposed to. I mean, he hasn't had a lot of time with these songs,
right.
And this pedal business is a challenge, certainly. But it was just such a treat to see somebody who you basically see walk into their car and back into the house and carrying groceries and so on and so forth do this completely other thing. It was really very magical, and I was glad to be part of it. And I would have sat there and listened to them play those five songs again.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. It was great.
Let alone new ones. Just so that I could – there were parts, you know, just like with any song where you go, oh, I want to hear that bit again.
Mm-hmm.
It's they're all of them chock full of, oh, that would be cool to hear again. Just really interesting. So that was cool. But that was Saturday. The previous Thursday was the Fair Luna's birthday, and she could think of no other people on earth she would rather spend it with than the Worshams.
Now, the way you make that sound is that you encourage her to think of someone else.
Is that- I tried everything I could think of. So we.
What about the Pajones? He's a rock guy.
Well, I hadn't been to the show at that point. Right.
Plus, they're going to get replaced.
Yeah. Plus, they would have dinner at 10 p.m. and we needed to have it early.
George's wife, Naomi, was like, after the show, we're like, oh my gosh, that was so incredible, you know? Yeah. And then she's like, all right, well, let's go to the other bar. After this, we're going to another bar.
Yeah.
We were both kind of like.
She means basically midnight they're going to get to this other bar.
And we're like, oh, well, we're going to go. Like, right. Thank you. Like, it's so weird because you want to hang out with them. It's kind of like what Kim was saying when she had friends before she had kids.
Yeah,
you know
exactly,
what I mean? Like,
exactly.
It's, you want to go and hang out and have fun because
absolutely.
I do genuinely like these people. I love every single one of my neighbors. I couldn't ask for a better neighborhood. But at the same time, you're like, my kids are going to wake me up at 6 a.m. They are not going to wake you up at 6 a.m.
Right.
I did offer. She goes, no, come on. It'll be fine. And then she even said, how is it that I have never babysat? And I go, because you're sleeping, you vampire.
I know.
I will gladly send my children at 6 a.m.
I think that babysat shot, was it?
It was shot at both of us, but more so you.
She said 10.
Your kids are grown up.
She said, I've been neighbors 10 years, and I never got a call to babysit at all. Well, it's Jan been your neighbor for 10 years, son. She's been mine. And I'm thinking, they're always there up in the middle of the night. Yeah. And they're rock stars. You don't normally think of, you know, that kind of person to come over.
But it would be fun to, if this were a sitcom, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It would be like our kids would come back over and go, let me show you how to do a roll, a line of blow off a set of fake boobs, Dad.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I learned how to do cocaine out of a 23-year-old's ass.
Right. I can roll a tight joint with my, with my ball sack. So anyway, I lost my place. So we
went to dinner.
Yeah, we went to dinner and had a fancy steakhouse. And it got all crazy in the beginning because there was a little goof up with the sitter.
Yes.
We didn't have to worry about a sitter because clearly we don't use sitters over at my house. They would just free range over there.
You did a lot of free range.
Or
cage free.
Cage free. There you go. and I had decided at some point that I was not going to be a designated driver this evening, so we were going to have you folks drive, and then it all ended up.
No, you wanted a car service. You said,
"Oh yeah, I was going to get a car service."
You're going to get
first.
A car service. So you go, "Have you ever done the Uber thing?" And I said, "I've done Lyft, but everybody I've done Lyft with has also had an Uber phone." And I said, "It's really easy. I would just do that." Well, then it turned out my babysitter was going to be like, she said a half hour late, but then it turned into like an hour and 20 minutes late. So I was like, well, do you want us to meet you there? And then, but then I knew that we needed to be able to drive you back. So Natalie came up with the idea. She goes, why don't you go with him? I'll stay till the babysitter gets here, and then I'll drive and meet you there. So I go, okay, I'm going to get a car. And you're like, well, we got to go now. Like, we need to leave now.
We don't have time for that.
And I go, yeah, it's easy. And so I go, I'll get a lift. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So I hit a button, and it was great because Luna was not involved in this discussion, really.
No, not.
So I said, she goes, are you going to drive us? I said, no, Natalie's going to meet us there. My friend Bobic is, and I showed her my phone, like saying, I got to think through this app. Yeah. I go, my friend Bobic is going to pick us up. She was like, who? But I like how she doesn't understand, but is so, like, amiable. Like,
yes,
she's just like,
take
sure.
You at your word, yes.
So Bobic, who we found on Lyft, pulled up in his BMW 5 Series. Mm-hmm. And then I go, come on. I go, get in my – and that's the joke behind Lyft is that they go, sit in the front. He's your friend. He's not your taxi driver because that would create liability issues. And so we get – and Bobic was saying that he was wrapping up his day but in Burbank, but now we're making him drive all the way out to Pasadena.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And listen, it's 20 minutes, as you said – this time of day,
yeah.
But at that time of day, dinner time,
yeah, it probably took us a half hour, probably,
yeah,
I think,
more than 40 that. Minutes. I was worried we were going to miss that reservation, but he did pretty well.
Yeah, I think we walked up like 6:10 or something.
Once he stopped following the instructions of the machine and started following
my
instructions.
I'm glad you brought this up. The man is essentially, he's not really my friend. He's a fucking hired driver.
Yes.
And Adam is going, oh, you're going to take that exit? I mean, I would take this, but you do whatever you think. Don't do that shit. He's asking you three times. He says, well, I'll take whatever exit you want. Okay. You're like, well, you're trying to be the nice guy who really thinks, though, you should take. And I know what you're doing because I've been there. It's like, the minute I make him take this other exit is when there's going to be like a 5-car pileup and ambulances and just charred bodies everywhere. And it's like, well, if we would have got off one exit earlier, like the GPS said, we would have actually made it there yesterday. We would have traveled back in time and been that much earlier.
Yes. I didn't actually hear him. I was having trouble hearing him.
Oh, okay.
So I wasn't sure. I didn't realize he was looking for that many reassurances. Uh-oh. Oh, no. What's going on?
I don't know. I really hope George is listening live, and I hope that he doesn't mind me saying this. I don't think he's – I know he listens to the podcast occasionally.
Yeah.
But he just because of the context, he said, we're having Naked Monday. That's where we spend the day catching up on House of Cards and doing blow, of course. Oh, he did say happened to tune in today. Oh, damn it, George.
God.
Oh, that's the funniest shit ever. Oh, my God. Oh, best neighbors ever. Thanks for the kind words. Oh, that is going to, that filled me with joy. Everything
I can see your face light up.
Oh, my gosh. Given the context of what we were just saying and then to randomly get a text message from him saying we're having Naked. That is a well put joke too. Damn it, George. That is Oh, that sucks ass. That I couldn't even strum a guitar close.
That's
He's already just as funny as I am.
Exactly. It is unfair.
I need a fucking new job. This is
By the way, I'm going to start doing George's podcast.
You should.
I had to let you know.
It's probably better.
This is my last appearance.
Probably it is.
I barely came to this one.
We should have George do a segment where he just talks about a Tuesday 5 years ago.
Yeah,
like, you know, just some mundane weekday 5 years ago and how it's already 10,000 times more interesting than anything in our lives.
Right.
Anyway, back to Luna's birthday.
So we got out there and all of that worked out well. Here's the problem with what he was going to do. Never mind. Doesn't matter. He was going to go down a very heavily trafficked street.
Uh-huh.
And I was just worried about that that time. And I knew he could avoid all of that by just staying on the freeway.
You don't need to say the words worried. We know that's just that is your homeostasis.
Okay.
Is worried.
Fine. And so my intention was to indulge in some alcoholic beverages.
And did you?
And I don't think there's any. I don't enjoy drinking. I don't enjoy the flavor. I don't think it's nice to have a drink with dinner.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want the compliment. None of that. I just want to get it in me as fast as I can.
That's what she said.
Exactly. And so I just banged down 3 martinis before we ordered, before we even ordered food, pretty much.
Hold on. For the sake of
no,
the story.
Please, go ahead.
They were pomegranate martinis.
Oh, you fucker. You had to do that, didn't you?
They weren't James Bond martinis.
Well,
they were pomegranate
gay
martinis.
James Bond. I
right.
mean.
They were James Bond.
They were Jamie Bond. Jamie's yes. Bond. Yes, I had
James Bonder. Bondage.
What yes, yeah.
50 Shades of Hay.
And I think, what did Luna have? I
don't Luna remember. Also had pomegranate.
Oh, she, shut up. Yes, that's right. She had one, and then she had a drink later, I think. But
chocolate martini.
I should not have had the third one. I am a major lightweight when uh-huh. it comes to, and I have, I haven't been that drunk since college.
You said that night.
Oh, did I? Remember. I'm not going to remember anything I said that night, nor anything anyone else said, yeah. unfortunately. and so it was, I went past the pleasant buzz to just complete blotto.
It was like a... A time-lapse video of intoxication is what it was. It was like, yeah, we're having fun. Oh, I haven't been this drunk since college. I need some fresh air.
Right. I do remember getting up to go to the bathroom for either the third or the, I don't know, fourth time. I don't remember
twice.
What it was. Twice. Okay.
Yes.
And just almost been the second time hearing, I think, Natalie go, he's up again.
Yeah. Well, Natalie was enjoying watching you walk.
Weave my way to the
yes.
Okay, great.
She was really getting a kick
well,
out of that.
Well, I was as embarrassed then as I am now. I was regretted it very much later on.
Why?
Because I wasn't present in the evening the way I feel like I ought to have been. At least at 2, I would have been a little bit more plugged in. And apparently the biggest laugh of the night happened in the car on the way home, and I was incoherent by the
really?
Time it happened. All I did was I woke up, Natalie said something, everybody laughed,
oh,
and then you were tagging up on her joke. You say, no, you got to get both fingers in there all the way to the knuckle. And so I have no idea what anyone was talking about, but it
we're
was
doing
some
prep
sort of
for today's show.
Dirty joke.
We're writing
yeah,
the script.
There you go. What was that about? Because I asked Luna later. She said, I don't know what you're talking about.
I think it was some kind of finger banging or something.
Yes, but not some kind. I want the details. I want to know what made
Listen,
people laugh.
Stay awake. It seems to be, I think, beyond Bell's palsy. You have some kind of narcolepsy or
well,
something.
No, I was. and earlier, I mean, I was hiccuping. It was the textbook.
Yes.
I was like, are we going to go outside?
Yes,
you know,
it was
all of it.
A Merry Melodies hobo. Leaving Ruth's Chris in Pasadena last night. Oh, my gosh. It was great.
And you were very generous. You bought us dinner, which we appreciated.
Oh, we didn't get a birthday present.
There is that. No,
and
no.
Whenever we go out, we do the double day thing. We take turns paying. So it was not only Luna's birthday.
Yes.
But it was our turn to
well,
to
that's it was not part of my calculations at all.
Oh, I thought that's why you invited us.
No, I would have gone to Morton's if I had done that. A much nicer steakhouse than the
really?
One we
the
went
Ruth's
to.
Chris? I thought it was great.
Oh, no. Morton's is... No, we wouldn't have got out of Morton's for less than $500. I don't know what it was the other night.
I don't think we got out of Ruth's Chris.
Oh, no. Shit. Oh, my God. I feel so bad.
Why? I don't care.
Okay, good.
Well, I had a great time. It was
no,
fun.
It's,
it was
it's
worth
like
it for the
five,
hiccupings and the
like,
finger-banging talk.
It was like 5 for $2. If you go to Morton's, it's 2 people or it's about $500.
2 people for $500 at Morton's?
So. I think so.
Oh
I got
gosh.
A $200 card once and it didn't, a $200 gift card from someone.
And it was like an appetizer?
Yeah, it didn't help.
Appetizer and a pomegranate martini,
right.
That's it?
I don't think I was into those at that point.
It was great. I had a great time.
It was a lot
fun.
Of fun. It was.
My favorite moment, Luna, if you're listening, buckle up for my impression of you, but it was great because you go, okay, I'm going to need some fresh air. And then she goes, oh, there he goes. Oh, I hope he's going to be okay. I said, what's wrong, Doreen? Is your birthday taking a turn? She goes, I hope not.
And at some point, I found on my text, a text I sent to you that just said, tell my wife I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I thought,
like it was a
suicide note.
Is he
about to walk into Colorado Boulevard right now? Like, just end it all? Like...
So, anyway.
Up-and-coming podcast star dies in Pasadena. Film at 11. If you had died, I would have only said you had martinis. I would not have said.
Oh, God bless you. Yeah. Some investigative reporter would have tracked down that receipt, though. And...
Am I cutting anything off story?
No, that's
short of the story.
Because yeah,
we got to wrap up with some moments
end.
Of the week.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I will just say this.
What?
That as much fun as you thought all of that was,
yes.
You should have seen me try to get my shoes off when
Did
I got
your wife
home.
Record it?
No, she did
we
not.
We have a Facebook page. Come on. Sometimes think about the show, Adam.
Seriously, no. She doesn't record our own children doing anything. There's never a footage of me throwing a ball with my sons or doing anything
there
at
is,
all.
There is, but it's point of view.
Yeah, exactly, right. I'm taking the shot. I was struggling, and she's like, why did you make these so tight? Your feet are swollen. I'm like, my feet are as well.
Wait. It's your birthday.
No, it's her
she's
birthday.
Birthday. Yeah. And she's pulling your shoes off before the birthday coitus begins.
Oh, there's no birthday coitus. Never birthday coitus.
Like a lame gigolo she brings right. into the bedroom.
And yeah. And then, couldn't get the... and then she just couldn't get the other one off. And so I pulled my pants off over my shoe, turned them inside out, chains falling on the floors, everything. I hung them up in the closet, threw them in the closet, and then I lay on the bed with one shoe in my underpants. And she finally came along, took pity, and took that shoe off.
Best Christmas card ever. Just you. Yeah. You have to be wearing, like, your button-up shirt and some
right,
kind of
exactly,
boxers
right.
and just, you know, a slack hanging off of that one yeah. shoe. We have to see the shoe. But
a black sock on one shoe and the dress shoe on the other.
Oh, that's incredible. That's all right, let's do some moment of the
all
week.
All right.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
Mine will be short and sweet because I have to go pick up my kid in about 8 minutes.
Oh, but shit. I got a long one.
My favorite, not today.
Fuck.
We're going to record again on Friday.
All right.
So anyway, Jacob was having dinner or something like that. And I had found some old, when we were watching the movie, I found some old Red Vines licorice.
Yeah.
And I pulled them out of the thing and they were stale. But I was nibbling out them without the kids seeing.
Yes.
And so anyway, we go. And so I came out from doing the laundry. I came back in and Jack had, his mom had found them on the counter and given them to him as treat or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, got two of them, the last two. And he's like, ah. And I don't know why, but I was angry. Even though they were stale, I was like, those are mine. I'm like teasing them, right? And they go, and Jacob goes, well, I got cookies or whatever. And I said, you sons of bitches are taking all my goddamn candy.
Right.
I go, those are my fucking treats, you know, and they're laughing. And so I said, you know what? I go, screw you guys. I'm going to make cowboy cookies. And he goes, and Jacob goes, I want cowboy cookies. I said, you don't even know if you like them. And he goes, yes, I do. I said, how do you know? He goes, because they're sweet. I said, no, cowboy cookies are made with salt. He goes, and he looks at me and he goes, no, they're not. I said, no, they are. He goes, yeah, as in sugar. And so then he says, I know I like them. And I said, well, how do you know you like them? He goes, because they're sweet. I go, but they're not sweet. He goes, yes, they are. Because they're cookies. Because they wouldn't call them cookies if they weren't good.
Right,
is what he said.
Right.
And I was like, that's adorable. And it made me laugh. Jack, while we were watching Whiplash, I conned Natalie. That'll be a talk for another episode. But the kids went out and played, and we actually had a moment where we could sit and watch a movie. And the kids had found worms in the backyard because we had a little bit of a rain thing. And the kids come. He goes, look, Mom, a worm. And he brings a worm in the house. He goes, we saved its life. And he starts whispering. He goes, we're going to put it in the roly-poly house. Because they made like a corner of one of our little flower beds. They rocked it in and put leaves and stuff on top of it. And they call it the roly-poly house.
Yeah.
Really, it's a roly-poly cemetery because roly-polies, much like rednecks from the South, are plucked from their domicile
right.
and placed into some kind of internment camp for them.
Yes, exactly.
But so they put the worm. And so he comes back in after showing him this worm. And then he goes, Mama. But then he starts putting his hands all over her face, like very affectionately.
Yes, right.
Where she's like, Jack, you just picked up a worm. Just talk to me. And I thought that was cute because he was so passionate.
I love, at least in the way you tell the story, that he whispered so the worm wouldn't hear where they were going to put it.
Yeah. He doesn't know he's going into a roly-poly house. Real quick,
it's gonna be
Richard Drew just said in the chat room, my boss just walked by as y'all were talking about James Bondage and gave me a death stare. Evidently, You can't listen to homoerotic humor.
Apparently
while cutting
not.
Meat, if
Apparently
you know what I mean. Not. It's too much of a sausage
That's
fest.
That's right. It's funny to think about there being even a boss at a butchery or whatever it is.
Meat department.
A meat department.
Don't be condescending.
No, but I mean,
this
you don't think of it as having
blue collar worker.
And never mind.
You're digging a hole. Tell your moment of the week with your dog so we can go get my kid.
All right. I will use my alternate moment of the week because it's shorter.
All right. Good.
But I will say, I have to go back and give a proper count. I was looking at my Stubbs tickets here.
Uh-huh.
Somewhere in the neighborhood of 35 to 40 movies in 2014.
Wow.
So there you have it.
That's most impressive.
Yeah. And those are just, that's that AMC.
They're texting you saying, hey, where are you, Adam? How come you're not at the movie theater today? We haven't seen you in 12 hours.
That's the alert. And that's just that one theater chain where it's keeping track of it. If I go somewhere else, it's not being kept
track. Yeah, that's not the Art House.
No, probably around 50. Anyway, speaking of movies.
Yes.
All right. So we all went to, I don't know, I think I discussed last time that her birthday is like Mardi Gras, that the celebration lasts a week.
Yes.
It ended on Sunday night. So Saturday or Sunday morning, I can't remember now, we went out for for breakfast together to Granville, this place that we like a lot. They do a nice little brunch over there. And we sat on the patio, and we got into a extended conversation about a movie that we'd all seen it in the theaters. I'd seen it actually several times, which is unusual for me. But then we had rented it, or actually I purchased it, which is unheard of for me. But Chad had wanted to see it. We couldn't find it streaming anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe didn't look hard enough. District 9.
Oh, it's great.
So, yeah.
Chappie's coming. My kids are
right.
So excited.
Well, that was just it. Is it Chad?
With 2 minutes, just so you know.
Chad wants to see Chappie. And so he said, I would like to see the movie that he made before that director made. So I'm like, oh, my God, my son is referencing other work. This is awesome. It's finally coming through. So in any case, we had a probably a good 45-minute conversation. You can just imagine three or four Pacos sounding off about stuff.
Diego's chiming in with wordplay.
Exactly. And just because that movie has its own, it's got the sci-fi level, it's got the social commentary level, you know, and my kids have learned a little bit more about world events and so on and so forth, so it resonated with them a little differently. And then it's just all on the different levels on which we all reacted to it. And it was just a really cool kind of family time that we haven't had much
like
of lately.
Cinephile orgy.
Exactly.
There you go.
But nobody. Oh, at some point I made some sort of statement about something. So the punchline of this particular one is that Diego turns to me at one point and says, "You're completely wrong in every conceivable way." About some statement I made.
Moment of the week!
You're completely wrong in every conceivable way. I laughed very hard at that.
Paternal winning.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
All right, so that was our show. Send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Don't forget to send in questions for Rachel. She's going to be coming. She's going to be in studio at the beginning of April, so I'd like to stockpile some stuff. Also, if you call 877-222-8323, you could leave us a voicemail that we could play on the show now. Like us at facebook.com/dadpodcast. Follow the show on Twitter @dadpodcast. Follow me on Twitter @JustinWorsham. Follow Paco on Twitter @TheRealPacoL. Or he's also on Instagram @call_of_Dooley. Get joyride.com/thedadpodcast if you want to support the show financially. Listen live at mixlr.com/dadpodcast. The spelling for all of this stuff is in the description of this episode. Be our friend on PlayStation, Call of Duty, Madden, whatever your game is. I'm Justin Comedy. He is Call of Duty Dooley with hashtag or hyphens in the middle. I don't want you to go necessarily to the Dad Podcast. I want you to pay money. Great. But if there's one thing I want to do is I want to hit 10,000 unique listeners by this summer. So right now we're hovering in the 3,000 range. So if everybody listening got three people to listen to the show, then we could be the number one podcast for parents in iTunes category. We're already number one for dads on Stitcher.
Oh, yeah.
But what I would like to do is kick the shit out of Adam Carolla's wife for crying out loud, because how are you going to do a parenting podcast when you got a full-time nanny? I don't know. I like her.
I don't
like
know.
Him. But anyway, that's my point. So please do that. Tell three people.
Well, the other thing that you can do is you can go to the Dad Podcast website and scroll down to the bottom. And when you see the Amazon banner down there, you click on it, and it's going to take you straight on through to Amazon. And then you're going to bookmark the site. And every time you go back to the site, you're going to click on that way. It's going to take you through. It's called clicking through. And you're going to do it that way. And then every time you buy something, we'll get a little something.
On behalf of my dirty wife, Natalie Worsham, my good friend, Adam Dooley, a.k.a. Paco Lancini, this is Justin Worsham saying, stay frosty. Thanks for listening, everybody.